Good morning, church. It is so good this morning to be here to worship God together with all of you. And also this morning to bid farewell later with my dear friend, Van, Paul. Yeah, Van and Paul has been, we spent about the last 2 years plus together. Every Sunday evening, every Sunday night, study the Bible together. They love God, they love the Word of God, and they always strive to glorify God. What a dear brothers and sisters. And we, as we study the Word, we cry together, we laugh together. It is a wonderful joy. It is always the greatest joy to be a pastor, is to journey with all of you and to get to know all of you. It is a great, great privilege to me. Yeah, let us come back to the Word. For you who are visiting us today, we are preaching through the book of Romans. This morning, we will continue to learn from Romans chapter 2. The sermon title this morning is God's Real People. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to 29. I will be using NIV. Okay? Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is an indispensable requirement in understanding Scripture to see and understand our own sin. So I pray this morning that you will show us the sinfulness of our own hearts, that we might understand our need of the gospel. Open our eyes, that we might allow you to examine our heart with the authority of your word, and be found out and then be drawn to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I pray this morning, you would be honored in your word, and all of us, we will be transformed by your words. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, please have your Bibles open. I shall read from Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to 29. Hear then the Holy Scriptures say, "Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law, and boast in God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. If you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirement, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet observes the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code, the circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physically. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person prays not from other people, but from God. This is the word of the Lord. Such a strong word that Paul used to his own brethren Jewish. Very, very strong word. So today, I will continue the theme from last sermon. Are you safe? From chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Actually, the whole thing, Paul actually revealed the bad news to those who read his letter. He's also made arguments for the potential question from Gentile and Jew in Rome. He revealed to them the evidence of God's wrath. Then he turned to those who thinking they are safe from God because of their self-righteousness. They point out to them, you have false security on that. So, the word is very strong so that Paul can really shake them up. Wake up, truly, look at yourself. Are you really safe? So today, I hope I'll be able to expound this message to you faithfully and clearly so that all of us will examine ourselves. Are we truly safe? Are we truly in the right path with God? Because it is so important. It is life and death. It is between eternal health and eternal life. So, brother and sister, we look at Paul. He was very specifically turned right to his own brethren, the very people who had received God's revelation. God himself gave his law through Moses to the people. And he began to speak to them and showing them that they too needed the gospel. Because he knows that they are in grave danger. Not great danger, grave danger, G-R-A-V-E. Precisely because of the privilege they have received. To think that they do not stand in need of saving grace even as the Gentiles do. So, Paul calling out to his fellow Jews this question, are you safe? Today, I bring this three-letter word to you. Are you safe? Same thing. We have the privilege to know God, to have His Word, and be able to come to a church to listen to His Word. And we have weekly Bible study to learn about God's Word. We have all the resources God provides to us. But are you safe? That is a big question. As a pastor, that is also deepest heart feel for you. And I want to see in you that you are safe. So, let's dive in. Paul pointed to them, the very center of the promises of God are the coming Messiah who comes to save his people from their sin by his own death on their behalf. The very center of the law of God are to point them to the hope of coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. They have come to, and they must come to embrace this covenant of grace which God promised to them. And so Paul continued to pile up argument to break down any resistance to the reality of their needs of the gospel of grace. Now, there's two main arguments Paul presented to the Jew. First, he comments in verse 17 to 24, chapter 2, verse 17 to 24, on their pride in the knowledge of God. So first, he pointed out to them their pride in the knowledge of God. And then in verse 25 to 29, he comments on their pride of being the people of God. Pride is very dangerous. Pride is the sin of all things. So, we can see from verse 17 to 24, Paul commanded the Jews, take pride in the knowledge of God, because they claim that they depend on the Lord of God, which is the Word of God, they know the will of God. They can discern from right to wrong because they are guided by God's law. However, they did not live up to it. They broke the law and they violated God's law. Paul pointed out from the books of prophets to the Jews, from verse 21 to 23, you can see. He said, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idol, do you rob temple? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? The Jewish people, they have the word of God. So they are the one who's supposed to teach and guide the people around them, even the Gentile, to know the word of God, what is right and what is wrong. So the Jewish people take pride of that. We have the word. We know right from wrong. But yet, they are lawbreakers. And yet, they dishonor God. And yet, they rob the temple and commit adultery. If you go back to read the book of prophets, you see that is what happened to the people of Jews. And God sent prophet after prophet and speak to them. You should turn back to God. You should circumcise your heart and turn back to God and do not dishonor God to do such thing because He so loves you. Today, week after week, you come to church as pastor. You hear, we'll preach to you. Turn back to God because He loves you. Do not continue live in your sin because God loves you. Because that eventually will lead to your own destruction. And some will get offended by it, angry because of the truth being revealed to them. So, brother and sister, please take heart. The word of God, if it's offended you, you should praise God and thank God, because that conviction will bring you, perhaps that conviction will bring you to repentance, and that repentance will bring you have the right relationship with God and fellowship with God. So do not get angry and offended by the word of God, because the word of God is good for your soul. When we, as a Christian, we should always examine ourselves with the word of God, with the truth. You see, when Jesus do all the miracle thing to the people of in the area of Galilee, many of them come and follow him. Jesus fed more than 20,000 people. But when Jesus speak the truth that I am the bread of life, come to me, and all of them left him. You see, the truth will change your life forever. Either will provoke you to walk away or to transform your heart to come to God. Either way, your life will change forever. Now, that's why Paul are not ashamed of the gospel. Paul speak the truth, and Paul speak the truth with zeal because his love for the people. The Jews cannot argue with Paul because they know Paul speaks the truth, although the word is very harsh, but it's the truth. And the reason they are under the power of Roman Empire at that time, because God gave the land of Israelite away to their enemy. And God did this because the Jewish people disobeyed God and broke God's law. And Paul also points out the Jews take pride in the possession of God's law. They boast in God because the creator of the world is God of Israelite. They were able to celebrate in God because God has chosen them by giving them the law and entering into a relationship with them. Does that sound familiar with all of us? There is security and comfort in the knowledge that God has selected Israelite to be his people. They have the knowledge. They know that. They take pride on that. There's nothing wrong to take pride on that, but it's very dangerous when you take pride on that for yourself. What a blessing to have the written word of God and to refer to listen, and to know. With this privilege, there was supposed to be a guide to the blind, a light in the world of the darkness, an instructor of the foolish, and teacher to the Gentile. So are we today. There's supposed to be a guide to those outside of the covenant, but the fact is they were not this thing at all. They were not a light to the nation. They were not a guide to the blind. They were not the instructor of the foolish that God wanted them to be. The people who were to be the light of the world have become part of the problem. The Jews have failed in their mission to bring the word to honor God. Not only that, they bring disgrace to God's name. In verse 24, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Can we relate to that? I think it speaks to all of us as well today. Paul was dropping a bomb to them. He tried to point out their problem that they misunderstood the function of the law. They have not realized just how comprehensive were the demand of the law. And they have not realized that the law, in fact, condemned them if they were not walking in according to it. The law extends even to the motion and the attitude of the heart. Jesus showed us in Matthew 5, verse 21 to 28, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother's or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who said to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone say, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You see, the Lord of God is really comprehensive. And second part of it, from verse 27 and 28. And Jesus said, you have heard that, this is from Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So the word of God is not just outward thing, but it's also inward. God's look at everything, starting from our heart. The demand of the law were very strict and thorough. When apart from God's grace, we have no hope to keep the law. The function of the law is to drive us to Christ and realize that apart from Christ, the law would condemn us. Therefore, the law always leads us right back to the mercy of God and the Savior. This is why when Jesus preached at the Sermon of the Mount, at that part, he pointed out this part of the law, many parts. He said, this is how God looked at every one of you. And by your own strength, there is no way you can do it by yourself. That the law of God, the command of God, is to drive us come to God, drive us seek mercy and the Savior. Say, we cannot do it. We are doomed. We need your help, Lord. We come before you. Help us, O Lord. Because your love for God, and you want to do what is right before His eyes. That's why you will plead with Him. That's why you will come to Him to help you, to strengthen you. From Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul told us, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law, the word of God, is for us to be conscious of our sin. It will drive us come to know God, to seek God, to depend on God, to rely on God, to ask for His strength to help us to live the life that would be pleasing to Him. We know that, brother and sister, even us today, like the jewel, we sin against God every day. I know I am. Every day I will come before God and ask for His forgiveness and ask Him to strengthen me, ask Him to transform me, ask Him to help me to be more like Christ, to transform to be more like Christ each day. Like what Paul told us, even Paul himself, he will beat himself each day in a way like he will struggle with sin every day and ask God mercy and ask God help to live the life that is according to His word. The problem with the Jews are that they separate the knowledge of God from God Himself. One can worship the truth and the idea about God without glorifying in the God Himself. One can know a great deal about God without knowing God Himself. One can come into God often for blessing without fellowshipping and having personal relationship with God. One can serve and do many things and know all the theologies and doctrine of God, yet do not know God. You know, there's a lot of the university and some seminary, there's a professor teaching the Word of God, teaching theologies, but they are not Christian. This is what Paul trying to say. So Paul say to the Jew, yes, you know the law, you know about God, but you don't actually know Him. Jesus say the same. You do not know me, you do not know my Father, because your Father is the father of lies. Your father is Satan. You see, Paul said, you people, you never see God and you haven't seen Him in all the glories of His character from His law. You never seen God from His law, from His word. You have all the knowledge about Him, but you never see Him from His word. And you have thought a lot about God, but you haven't known Him in a personal way. That's what Paul said to the Jews. Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40, you study the scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Apostle Paul reminds us that the knowledge of God and God Himself can never be separated. It is very dangerous to take pride so highly about the knowledge of God and the theologies of God, but not seeking Him and having relationship with Him. If we simply become obsessed with the fact about God and we do not realize that the Word that God has given us is for us to know Him personally, so that we would fellowship with Him and experience Him as He is and as who He is toward us, then we have misused the theologies that He provides to us. Many of us scholars call ourselves scholar, call ourselves the teacher of the Word of God. We take pride on the knowledge of God. We take pride. Look how much I know. The big word I can use. Everybody worship the person, the teacher. But yet, because of that pride, they do not know God. They did not come to God. Anytime we separate the knowledge of God from God Himself, we will sway away from God. And so the Apostle Paul accused his own people in his own day of knowing a lot about God but not knowing God. They have fallen in love with their ideas about God and their knowledge of God, but they did not know the living God Himself. And they used the knowledge of God for their own selfish gain and to glorify themselves. That's why a lot of brothers and sisters came to me and said, Pastor, it's very hard to read the Word of God every time I read it, and I have to look up the commentary, and it's so much to read. I say, why you read the Word of God? To read the Word of God is to seek God, is to have personal relationship with Him, is to hear from Him. My Lord, how would you like me to live my life? My Lord, what would you like me to do? My Lord, your will is my command. God revealed this truth from verse 29. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. It's not by the written code. It's not by the Word. When you read the Word, you come before God and seek Him. And seek Him. That is why the Spirit of God will reveal the truth to you. Because the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. You come to fellowship with Him. You come to listen to Him. You ask Him to reveal the truth to you. You ask Him to tell you how to live your life according to the teaching of God. No one knows the Word of God and the will of God better than the Spirit of God. That is why, dearly beloved, when we come to God's Word, it is to seek God, not the knowledge apart from God. Now, we come to verse 25 to 29. Paul commands on their pride of being the people of God. Circumcision was a symbol and seal given by God of God's covenant with the Jew. Circumcision is to give Jewish people a sign as people set apart for God, which means they are God's covenant people. Therefore, Paul pointed out that the Jews' prideful thinking think that they don't need the gospel because they got circumcision, they are inheritors of the covenant of promise given to Abraham, still in circumcision. And Paul basically said, look, covenant sign means nothing apart from covenant reality. You can claim the sign of circumcision all along, yet your heart does not show sign of heart circumcision. True consecration to God, true love to God, true love to your neighbor. You see? Covenant circumcision is a covenant sign, mean nothing apart from covenant reality. Same thing I can say to all of us today. Baptism is a sign. But without the reality of baptism, there is no use. You can have pray the sinner's prayer. You go for baptism. You claim yourself a Christian. But there's no reality of being a Christian. There's no reality in you being the children of God. You can claim all you want. There's no obedience to live for God. There's no obedience to live according to the word of God. You can claim yourself as a Christian all you want, but you are not in reality. You are not in the eyes of God. That's why the day will come, Jesus said, why you call me Lord, Lord? I do not know you. Get away from me. Dearly beloved, are you safe? Both the law and circumcision are elements that make the Jewish people distinct from the nation. Baptism makes us distinct from people out there. But neither of these aspects set the Jewish apart as being in a special relationship with God are of any value if the law of God is not kept. And if the people don't submit to God and obey to Him, possession of the law doesn't spare anyone from God's wrath. Circumcision does not spare one from God's wrath. Same thing I can say to all of us. Baptism, apart from obedience, does not save us from God's wrath. Having the word of God, but apart from obedience to God, knowing God, there's no value to all of us. Paul continued in his argument by telling the Jew, you become like an uncircumcised Gentile in breaking the law of Moses. This means that you are not a member of God's people and not in a special relationship with God. When the Jews did not obey God's law, they were no better off than an uncircumcision Gentile. Same apply to us. If you already baptized and you claim yourself to be a Christian, but you are not living in obedience to God and knowing Him and love Him and love others, you are no better off than any unbeliever out there. When this truth of God being revealed by Paul, and I hope to all of us today, I think many of the Jews either so angry and walk away or with weakened knees cry out to Paul, brothers, what should we do? Because they know very well none of them can be spared if they don't come to God. None of them can be spared if they don't come and place their trust in Christ and have faith in the Messiah that promised to them and live for Christ. Now, in verse 26, Paul points out that The Gentiles are becoming the people of God. Verse 26, pay attention here. A bit complicated here. In verse 26, Paul's point out that the Gentiles are becoming the people of God by keeping God's law. Though uncircumcised, they are coming into a relationship with God and are part of God's people by keeping God's law. Those who do not keep God's law are excluded. Further, in verse 27, the law-abiding Gentile would condemn those who are circumcised. The law-abiding Gentile would condemn those who are Jews, because Jews had the law and were hearers of the law, but did not obey it. The Gentile did not have the law of Moses, but if they are obeying God, the Gentile would condemn the Jew. Wait a minute. When you read this part, how can Gentile actually obey the law of God flawlessly? It is impossible. Isn't that the law is for us to be conscious of sin and drive us to Christ? You see, the Gentile who did not call by God, how can they live according to the word of God? So, here actually, a little confusing here. Let me explain. It take me a lot of time to actually get this right. Actually, verse 26 and 27 is a build-up for verse 28 and 29. And verse 28 and 29 is the answer to verse 26 and 27. Paul built this up to give an explanation of how Gentiles become true Jews. Verse 26 talk about Gentile keep the law requirement, will regard as truly circumcised. And verse 27 talk about Gentile obey the law, will condemn the lawbreaker. How is that possible? The answer is in verse 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So what Paul is saying, the true Jews is all about inward change. It's all about circumcision of the heart. And this can only happen by the power of the Spirit of God. A person will only be able to keep the law and obey the law, meaning by the grace of God, by the power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit work inside this person. They can do this. So Paul is saying, if the Gentile willing, the Holy Spirit work in them, they will become the true Jews, the true Jewish people, the true God's people. In Jeremiah chapter 31, when Jeremiah is giving his vision of what the new covenant is going to be like, from verse 31 to 34, okay? Verse 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestor when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This, the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, for the least of them to the greatest, declared the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. You see, Paul is basically telling them, According to the prophecy from Jeremiah, we are entering into the new era. We are going to have the new covenant with God. So, brother and sister, that's what Paul told the Jewish brethren. Brother and sister, listen here. This is the day of the Lord's favor upon you. The new covenant of God will be given to us through Christ, who died on the cross for all of you, to the shed of his blood. You have to come to him. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, what the prophet has told us all this time. And now, in this new covenant, even the Gentile will come to God. Even the Gentile can be the true Jew. In the new covenant, the covenant of grace, there will be the people who have the Lord in their heart. So Paul is saying to the Jews, look, you are telling me that you are the people of God. I don't see the law in your heart. I don't see love of God. I don't see love for your neighbor. I don't see a real obedience to the law of God. I don't see a love for his word. I don't see a response to the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah of God. It's basically you say to them, look, you have no idea what you are doing. You are not safe. You need to come to Jesus. He is the Messiah. You trust on your circumcision. You trust on your knowledge with the Word of God. But you don't know, you misinterpret it. You don't understand it because you have the knowledge, but you don't know God. You are not saved. With zeal, he said this. That's why he put it as such. Strong word. To shake them up, to wake them up. Listen here, what I tell you. That's why in chapter 1, Paul said, I will come to you because I want to preach the gospel to you so I can gain some of you from the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God. It's the righteousness of God revealed to his people. My friend, Paul is not just speaking to those Jews in Rome. He's also speaking to us as well. And you say, but we are in the new covenant. You should be good, right? We are in the new covenant. We know Jesus. Dear beloved, I'm not here to condemn you, but I'm worried for you. Are you safe? Are you take real interest in God? You claim yourself to be a Christian. Do you love God? Do you love his word in order to know him? Do you strive to obey his word? Do you love the people of God? Is there a sign of the fruit of the Spirit in you? You say, well, I make a decision. I pray a sinner's prayer. I even went for baptism. Dear one, how is your relationship with God now? How is your relationship with others now? Are you trusting in Christ as your Lord? And if so, how is that showing in your life? Are you safe? The mere possess of a covenant sign, circumcision, or baptism means nothing apart from the real grace and the sign of the continuity living in Christ. Those who carry the covenant marks of circumcision on their hearts are the people of God, not those who carry the covenant marks outwardly. A real people of God is someone whose heart is right with God. The outward mark does not put one into a covenant relationship with God. The outward works doesn't put one in the right relationship with God. Don't say that, oh, I serve, I come to church, I serve every Sunday, I serve in the different position. But the thing is, do you actually know God? Is that a sign in your life that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in you? Do you love God? Do you love others? But a person with a change of heart by the Holy Spirit, the one who always will be the one who always seek the praise from God, not from men. The one who will love God and love others are the real people of God. Dear beloved, are you saved? For your encouragement, I give you two of my favorite Bible passages to meditate on. If something speaks to me, and always I read them to help strengthen myself. This is what Paul said from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Paul said this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved this thing or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection of which Christ Jesus first processed me. No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize of which God to Christ Jesus is calling us. Brother and sister, I'm not asking you that you need to be perfect today. But are we pressed on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize of which God, to Christ Jesus, is calling us? Psalm, another one, from Psalm 119, 33 to 40. I always read this one because it will help me to vision. It will help my heart to longing for God and to help me to know why I cannot by my strength depend to keep the command of God. But I pray with this part of the psalm to help me to have the strength and to ask for God to transform me to be more like Christ. So I would like to share this with you, and you can meditate upon them every day. Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decree, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statue and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace that I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precept in your righteousness. Preserve my life. This morning, if God speaks to you and you would like to receive His gospel, please see me or one of our leaders to pray for you and start the journey with you. If any one of you needs prayer as God speaks into your life, please look out for our leaders or myself. We would love to pray with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We acknowledge that you are the one true God and the only way of salvation. And we ask this morning that you would help us to search out our heart to see if we are truly trusting and resting in you. By your grace, keep us from deceiving ourselves with spiritual delusion. Help us to really and truly trust in Christ alone for our salvation. Help us to live the life that have genuine relationship with you. Help us to continue to experience the transformation power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.